Yeah. Perfect Plex Radio. We about to go live on him. Mike Knox. That's with three X's because he's hardcore. Are y'all ready? I go by the name Fred Knox. We about to give y'all something special. You ready?
Welcome back, everybody, to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt. That's right, people. We have been here for a week, but it's okay because we are here now. We are live and living colors. You can tell Bell Kings are in the building, and so are you, people. Today, we have a plethora, and I love that word when it comes to professional wrestling. A plethora. Better yet, I take it back to when I was a kid, a smorgasbord. Remember, you was a kid, and you heard the word smorgasbord, and you said, that just means all the food I can eat, right? That's what a smorgasbord is. We got all that for you today and dim sum. Like as I always said, my name is Mike Knox. You can find me on any social media that is out there by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, if you're not making it get loud, that's your problem, not mine. And in honor of the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair being gone, I got to bring this show a little flair. And by doing that, I have my co-host. What's going on, Chris? How you doing, big guy?
Greetings and salutations, Mike. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. And Mike, the streets missed us, bro. The streets missed us. So we had to come back and give the people what they want.
You know what the truth about that is that I don't miss the streets. I'm just joking. We're here. I do love you. And thank you for tuning in. And we are here for the smoke. So today, listen, it's a lot of things going on in the world of professional wrestling. Undertaker, thank you, Taker. Is it really here? We got AEW Fighter Fest 1 and 2, part 2, if you will. Talk about that as well as the week in professional wrestling. And we got to speak, since we're speaking now live to you in living color, ladies and gentlemen, as he already said, greetings and salutations. We have to speak about, Chris, this Speak Out movement.
Yeah, so last week there were several stories that appeared about a UK wrestling, what would you call it? He's kind of a big deal over in the UK, David Starr, and some allegations surfaced about him in regards to sexual misconduct. And frankly, Mike, that opened the floodgates. I mean, there's everything from YouTubers to journalists to promoters to wrestlers to names we know to names we don't know to families. I mean, it just really opened the floodgates, and everybody has been sharing their stories with the hashtag Speaking Out, which I know you all are familiar with.
And we're going to speak out about that a little bit later in this program, and that's where it gets a little deep, sensitive, and, you know, we can only speak on what we know and in fairness of the situation. So we are not politicians, we are just wrestling fans speaking out on the same things. So with that being said, we did have the previous week in wrestling, right? We had the NXT North American Championship triple threat match, if you will, so to speak, which shocked me because I didn't think they would pull the trigger and had Limitless Keith Lee win. A lot of things in the week of professional wrestling. Like I said, Fighter Fest is coming this weekend. Let's start right there with AEW. They got the big one. They had to have, you know, the big show last week, but not really because that was their going home show, actually, was last week for this pay-per-view, Fighter Fest. Let's talk about it. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm excited about Fighter Fest. It's just the matches, the what happened last week on the show, and as we spoke off air, the press conference to me was just, that's wrestling to me. Kudos to that. That's what New Japan never got away from. The WWE Jazz got away from. It never came back since the Jack Cunning days. That it's always, to me, a good staple in professional wrestling, Chris. What do you want to start with AEW?
Yeah, let's start there with the press conference, because I totally wholeheartedly agree with you. I enjoyed that. And AEW has said from the beginning that they were going to present their brand more sports orientated, and I don't think the record thing has really worked out very well. But you know, you win some, you lose some. You throw enough against the wall, and you see what sticks.
Uh-huh. I kind of like it because it is different. I'm with you. I think it hasn't stuck quite, you know, the records necessarily, but I think it gives the fan coming over the perspective of what they are, and they have to know, oh, that guy's over because of this versus him not having wins. You know, like someone like Omega and things like that. Go ahead.
But no, I agree with you. And Cody is one of the best promos in the game right now. You got to give him his props on that. And it was very reminiscent because they do the same thing for the UFC and the boxing matches. Mm-hmm, you know, those press conferences are worse. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you do. You tease a little physicality and get people excited to see the actual match. That's what you do. And they pulled this off to perfection.
Listen, pulling it off perfection is the understatement when you said Cody in the promo, okay? Because the promo that he cut was fantastic. Listen, I'm going to stop saying it. This is probably be the last time I'm going to say it, but I'm not. I've been a Cody Rhodes fan since day two. That means, you know, not the first day he showed in WWE, but like 2 months later, I was a fan of Cody Rhodes. It happened every situation. And he's gotten better and better and better and better. And that's what I think fans have grabbed onto, is like they've seen the progression. They've seen what he's come from. And that promo about, I go by the moniker of the Nightmare, but I'm still living the American dream. You know what I'm saying? To give a guy a chance, you know, talk about how you hit it. That was just awesome. And, you know what I'm saying? Every sense of the word, Arn's part in that promo, what was happening behind him in the promo. It was just, that was wrestling to me. And I love that. And that got me excited for the All-American, a five-time All-American. I can't call him Jack Swagger, but that's who he is to me. No disrespect there, Chris.
Can we talk about how Jack...
Mr. Hager.
But just for a minute, can we show some love to the moniker Jack Swagger? That's literally the greatest wrestling name of all time. Yes.
I like it.
You know that should have went to a brother, man. But that's the greatest name ever. Jack Swagger. Come on, man. And they gave it to a dude with no swag. The irony. Oh, the irony.
Touche. I tip my head to you on that one. I never thought about it that way. That is like the greatest name in professional
Yes.
Man, dang. Vincent dropped the ball on that one. His name should have been like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I can't figure it right now. You think, because he's from Oklahoma, right? So it should be like Bob Thornton. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Bob Thornton or Timberland Chambers or something like that. I don't know. You think wrestling, you gotta think wrestling and porn. So you had to somehow mix it somewhere. That's one of the greatest segments I've ever seen in my life on the radio. My man out in LA, porn star or wrestler name. You have to guess the name of what it is. And based on the name, you have to know. And he'd be like, it'd be some names. And you in the car, I'm listening to him. And I'm going, oh, I know that because I know wrestling. And then sometimes you'd be like, right, well, that was a porn star? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You'd be really surprised by these names. All right, so Jack Swagger was definitely swinging it on both of those notes. What else is going on in AEW Fire Fest this week?
All right, so this week, this is going to be night one. It's going
to
be a two-night
And I'm picking Cody to win that match, by the way. And sorry to cut you off there. I apologize. Blind tag, but it wasn't. But came in there and then speak about that title. So when are we going to see the new title? You keep talking about how it's the incomplete version. You wanted to get it out there. You've made that moniker. And you're saying that, right? So everybody who has this belt that you know, jumped the ball by making it, hey, that'd be a really good title for the future to get onto for all my belt kings out there. Cheap pop, but it's not every Tuesday. All right, but you got it. I like that. I'm sorry. The whole promo to me just was so – to me, that was the best thing about AEW Dynamite this week. That was just for me. So I didn't want to get off of it right there, but go ahead.
No, you're right. And that was pretty much it that I liked about Dynamite. I liked that press conference, and then there was a really good tag match with FTR versus Daniels and Kazarian.
Every time FTR comes to the ring, I just love it. Yep. I'm sorry. They drive from wherever it is they're driving from.
Can you imagine if WCW was still around? They'd be the biggest thing since sliced bread. They really would be.
They really would be. And I would be right on board. I think they should have been the biggest tag team since sliced bread, to be honest with you. I think they should have been up there with the likes of the Usos and the New Day and those guys. And I think the company, the WWE, completely dropped the ball with these guys. And skies are the limit with them in AEW. That's for damn sure. And I don't think they're going to let – you're going to see great matches in AEW with these guys that you didn't get the opportunity to see these guys do over in WWE. And it's going to push that envelope later in years about where they – rank in tag teams to see what if they can stay healthy also with that one. But I like the end with Cassidy and Jericho going into their match. You know, Cassidy doing his little Jericho looking at him like crazy. I don't know. I just think in a week where SmackDown didn't bring it because of the Thank You Taker, and we're going to talk about Undertaker later, is he or isn't he gone forever? You know, but I thought that was a great go home show for him. He's not. He's coming back in November. Is that it?
Yeah, he'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back. Everybody knows that he'll be back. But we'll get to that. That's called tease. That's not the word I was looking for, but tease will work.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
There it is.
He'll be back.
Okay. So let's talk about Fighter Fest. Let's go through the matches and give them our wins and losses.
All right. So night one. All right. We're going to start off here with MJF and Wardlow versus Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. I was really disappointed in this Wardlow Luchasaurus match that happened on Dynamite this past week, because they've done a really good job of building up that program between two big guys, just two big horses, just slugging it out. And it was cool when it started off, and then it got a little bit too indie for me with everybody jumping off balconies and all that goofiness and everybody sitting there catching it.
His name is Luchasaurus. I mean, we need to get rid of that. The name, what he can do. The problem is not this, but the build-up was great. The problem is Luchasaurus, who, shout out to my man Scotty Diggs, okay, who turned me on in a way to no broke back to Luchasaurus, is I'm loving what I see from him. But that match, I'm sorry, I don't think they mesh well in the ring. I just think it's too contrasting styles, if you will. I don't like the name Wardlow. So, A, for me, Wardlow's off my list. The name is stupid. All my True Blood fans out there know why, okay? But just little intricacies in the ring that I love about guys like Orton, guys about Eddie Guerrero. And I know that's a high mark from here. I'm just setting the page here, okay? I'm painting the picture, if you will. Picasso, all right? And it's ringmanship in the ring. I value that in wrestling. And we talked about this off air as well. Luchasaurus gives him a sweeping kick to the front of his calves, and he falls backwards. What gravity is that? Okay, those are things you got to learn in the wrestling ring that, to me, I will take you off a list of when they're trying to bring you up somewhere there, Chris.
So I'm not going to bury Wardlow because he's from Cleveland, 216.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, we're not going to bury Wardlow. There will be no Wardlow slander on these airwaves, sir. He's Cleveland's own, holding it down.
Jordan,
like an anvil on a seesaw.
Go home. Yep. Go to home. Yep. Go to fuck home. Yep. I'm sorry. I was, MJ all day.
That's cool, because we got our revenge during those D Rose LeBron years. So it's all good. We're good. We're
okay.
Good.
Okay.
That's karma. That's karma. Okay. Thanks for destroying the team of the 90s, Jordan.
When he was in Cleveland during those years, did he win a championship?
Did you see who he had with him?
I'm asking you a question.
No.
Thank you. Moving on. Let's go, Fire Fest. Next match.
Oh, no. Moving right along.
No, hold. We're picking the winner. We got to pick the winner of the match. God dang it. I'm going Luchasaurus them. I just can't ever go nothing with Wardlow in the name.
I'm going MJF because they're clearly grooming him to be their
you're
top
right. You're
heel.
Right. I'm sorry. Going MJF. I'm going MJF as well. Go ahead.
Yeah. So next on the list, one of my favorite tag teams, and I think the most underrated tag team in all of wrestling, Private Party versus Santana and Ortiz. Now, this has an opportunity to be a damn good match. Mm-hmm. I like both of these teams. I love Santana and Ortiz.
Yep.
I was first introduced to them when they were the new LAX with Conan back in Impact. Yep. I love Conan, too, so I just shout him out.
Yep. Go ahead.
And Private Party has been a revelation. I didn't know who these guys were, and I saw them come out.
I seen them in MLW for the first time. MLW is where I seen them at for the first time, and I was like, who are these guys? Don't like the haircut, but that's just me being old-fashioned. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the glasses and all of that and the tuxedos and whatnot. But these guys are super athletic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works. They're super athletic. They're good in the ring. I like how they put Matt Hardy with them so he can kind of mentor them, I think, on air and behind the scenes as
absolutely.
Well.
Because
there's some hardiness in there. Do you see the hardiness?
Absolutely. That's good booking, because you put them with that. This is what I talked about where, again, I'm going to call it promotions again, where this is what you're supposed to do in wrestling. You have your older guys there to put over your younger guys. Not to be put over. You can win matches. You can do things you got to do, but you got to be a mentor so that the people who were for you come over. You got your money. Those days are over. That life is over for wrestling and fans. Mentor. We'll love the old guys, but don't have them come back to be champions for a very long period of time.
For very long periods of time, because you got to put them on top when they first come in, because that way when the new guys beat them,
it means something. But it's got to be the journey. It's got to be the journey. Yeah. But I love Private Party. I love that booking. I can't stop saying enough with Matt Hardy and Private Party together in that way. But who you got winning the match?
It's going to be Santana and Ortiz. I don't think they value Private Party as much as they should.
I don't either. We just brought you up here to knock it back down. Well, that's what you call an earthbender right there. Okay. We just took the ground from underneath of them. Yeah. No way that Private Party wins this match, in my opinion, as well. What else we got?
No. All right. So we have an AEW women's title match versus, I'm going to butcher this name so hard.
Yes,
so forgive me, all our Asian brothers and sisters in advance. Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford. And the only thing I can think of with Penelope Ford is Joey Janela was hitting that. Good for you, sir. Good for you. I mean, all right, let it go. Dreams really do come true.
Yes, they do. What you got in this match?
No way they're going to take the title off of her this soon. And not to Penelope, with all due respect. This is just a placeholder. I don't know what's going on with it. They should have never took it off of old girl, but whatever. We'll just keep that moving. Yes. I don't want you to get yourself in trouble. So
I just want to say exit stage left.
So moving right along, we also have a world tag team title match on Fighter Fest Night 1 between Kenny Omega and Hangman Page versus The Best Friends. Okay. Now, this is one of them goofy gimmicks that I don't really get. Now, I mean, I see they added Orange Cassidy with the crew and whatnot, but they just don't do it for me. The Best Friends don't do it for me. Omega and Hangman, clearly they're going to win this. I don't think they lose these.
This is why I'm watching Fighter Fest along with Cody Rhodes, because anytime I see Hangman Page pause, I want to be right there watching.
That's awesome. As a fellow Lush, I appreciate Hangman Page. You, Page.
In that words, here's the what we got next, big guy.
All right. So the main event of night one of Fyre Fest is the aforementioned for the TNT Championship. Or as Lillian Garcia would say, championship.
That's really
we've got that ain't how she said. Go back and listen. That ain't how she said. Go back and listen. You ain't heard her in a while.
I gotta go listen again.
We got the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
Make your dreams happen.
Make your dreams happen. His dream came too with Brandy, but that's neither here nor there. That's the best endorsement for
Applaud you, brother. My fact, you're a Dumbledore for that one. That's a Dumbledore clap, baby. I love that. That's Dumbledore. Versus Jack Hager?
You certainly – versus Jake Hager, not Jack.
Jake Hager. I keep wanting to say Jack because Jake just doesn't – go ahead. Sorry.
No, Jake from State Farm.
It doesn't roll off. It just doesn't roll off the tongue. It doesn't.
No. But you got this is going to – well, I got to go Cody. It's going to be Cody.
You can't take this belt off of Cody right now.
No.
This is his – no, just can't. It can't. You gave him this belt. For him to be what he's doing, okay? This is reminiscent of the U.S. title that's been used, you know, repeatedly over, you know, the company for a couple of years by, you know, when Cena had it and then when, you know, Owens had it. Just certain guys you got to have that pushes the belt over for a while until you get the next guy to come out and get it. This should become the workhorse title, so to speak, you know what I mean, for this company. And to do that, to become this workhorse title, I think Cody can do it because he cuts great promos. He's fairly, you know, decent in the ring. You know what I mean? Above average Mike Sanders. I always thought that was, to me, that was the greatest in professional wrestling. But I get your Jack Swagger, though. But to me, above average Mike Sanders, that's just that name. Oh, he was like 5'9". Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, was a dope guy. But I'm going Cody all the way in this in night one as well. And then we talk about night two next week?
Yes.
Night two is on the 8th. Yes. Right. Yes. Right. So.
And. You know, shout out to them for ending or main eventing the first night with the TNT
absolutely,
title because
absolutely
theoretically in every wrestling promotion you should be able to main event a card with any of the title belts. That's how much they should mean, and it would make your life a lot easier as well as a booker. I'm not saying, I'm just saying you should be able to do that.
And earlier I said pay per view, and this is on TNT. So, and I apologize for that because. Opposed to them will be NXT's doing the Great American Bash. The Great American Bash. As you said, I'm going to steal your thunder. No Lex Luger, no Sting. So does it hold the same thing for you there, Chris?
It doesn't, man. It's hard to say the Great American Bash and not think of Sting, not think of Luger, not think of Flair, not think of Dusty, not think of the Horsemen. And I'm pretty sure none of those Mother Farmers are going to be participating in this year's Great American Bash. So I get it.
That's so wrong. It's all in a name. It's better than Over the Limit.
Well, okay, yeah. if that's the bar, yeah, okay, yeah. It clearly exceeds that bar.
And I have liked, this is the second one that NXT has done, if I'm not mistaken. I think I'm mistaken. I think they did.
Yeah, I don't think NXT. Did NXT do a NXT, bash last
I think
year?
NXT did it last year. Okay. And if they didn't, so talking about this one, they can be comparable to the stars that they're making here. And I mean that as far as the in-ring ability of it. No, it will never have its luster. And plus, there's no fans. Okay. Yeah. So even how they're doing it at the Performance Center doesn't compare to how they're doing it in his stadium that he owns. You know what I'm saying? With the AEW and Fyter Fest. It just doesn't, you know, and wherever it is, this may be. Okay. But no, it's not going to have the same luster. And I get it, it's all in the name, but that's what they're calling it. I'm not going to dare sit here and say it should be, you know, anything but other than an NXT show with a name called the Great American Bash attached to it. It's not the Great American Bash. Not even close to being the Great American Bash. It's bad booking. We talked about good booking for Firefest and or you know, putting Private Party partnered up somehow with Matt Hardy on, you know, on and off air. So things like that, you know, that we can talk about it because Limitless Keith Lee will be going for the NXT Championship. So Adam Cole, two champs, baby. I love the name. I love Adam Cole. But I say this much. Call it what you want to. Like Issa Rae said when they asked her at the Oscars, who you going for? She said, everybody black. I'm going for Limited Keith Lee to hold both these titles. We talked about over the last couple of weeks and months here doing the show, you know, his potential. And while we saw him in the movie on the NXT scene, I said, you know, or not the NXT, so I'm sorry, the Netflix movie, you know, with the kid, the like Mike thing with the mask. And I'm like, did he really like this guy? And then I think about the Royal Rumble and him getting over with Brock Lesnar. I think, you know, we talked about off air about AEW and their past week show with Cage being a big body that can move and things like that. Limited Keith Lee is probably the most agile big man in wrestling. And if big is what always sold wrestling and being agile in today's world, Limited Keith Lee is that guy. There is no way. You talk about this all the time when it comes to Alexa Bliss, right? Mm-hmm. Believability. Mm-hmm. I say it when it comes to Sammy Guevara. Believability. He's not Eddie Guerrero. That is disrespectful to Eddie Guerrero. Sorry. It is. He's not Eddie Guerrero. He's more the Diaz brother from the UFC. I can believe that more. That's no disrespect to the Diaz brothers. I don't like them, but I thought they'll whoop somebody's ass. Okay? It's just what it is. Okay? So you're looking, Limited Keith Lee is that guy. I think there's no way I'm supposed to believe that Adam Cole is going to beat him. That's what I'm saying. The believability of he's going to beat Keith Lee. Really? How? How? He just beat a former Universal Champion, NXT Champion, the first, okay? And no, he wasn't the Demon, but he's still Finn Balor. He just beat Johnny Gargano. I know we're wrong. Mm-hmm. I know we're wrong. They're going to make a way for Adam Cole, who I'm a fan of, to win this belt. And we just talked about having the belt for so long. It's almost 400 days. 400, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going with Keith Lee in this match, although I don't think he's going to win it, but that's what I'm going for. That's
this is how they're going. This is how they're going to make it believable. They're clearly going to get involved in this match in some particular way because I think they're grooming Karrion Kross to take that title from Adam Cole, which is a mistake.
That's what the world will tell you to do, but I think even if that's the case, it's more believable for him to beat Keith Lee.
It is. Yes, it is. But I mean, I'm Team Keith Lee. I've been on the Keith Lee bandwagon for a while. Ever since.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, please.
No, I was going to say. I saw a thing about saying.
We both was being polite and it took. Okay.
But you were speaking first. I will know what I'm talking about in a second. Go ahead and continue, please.
I was going to say, ever since I saw Keith Lee, well, number one, I saw him at a house show with. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And, you know, the match was cold when they first came out. Obviously, I popped for Keith Lee
because
he's Keith Lee. Yeah. Everybody does. They know. And the match was cold, but those two guys, they worked a really good big man match. And by the end of that match, the crowd was standing and on their feet. And I said, oh, this Melon Farmer got something.
Yes.
And then fast forward to November, the last go-home show on SmackDown before the Survivor Series, and he caught a fair one with Braun Strowman, and they were standing there in the ring together. That looked right. It felt right. And God damn it, Vince McMahon, you can say what you want about the old man. He ain't got his fastball no more, but he got Keith Lee over in 72 hours.
Listen, that's we talk about doing the right things in wrestling, not going too soon, knowing what it is, what's to be fixed, how to do certain things. The right buttons where you say Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, the almighty Bobby Lashley, I'm sorry, right? And how some of us don't see the differences in the two other than how they were booked, right? So I'm looking at Keith Lee can be the fixer of that mistake to me that was made with Bobby Lashley. And yes, this is not about, you know, it's been since 2012 since there's been an NXT Black Champion. Okay.
Wow. Wow.
We're in this whole fixing things these days. Yeah, this is me throwing a hey, Vince. You know, it's not going to make or break how I feel about the company, nothing like that. Nothing like that. But I take what I thought should have happened. With you know, we had had another match, another black guy going for a title, and I thought he should have won the match, and he didn't win the match. I think it was with Bobby Lashley, right? I said that was Bobby Lashley. Yeah, like hey, just for the moment, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, he should have beat, in my opinion. That would have been a great ride for him to go back and forth for that title, and not just because he's black, because I think that was the right move. This is the right move to me. And I know that's out there, what you're saying about Killian Kross coming over. He's not the star, so let's not make him the star. She's the star in that group. Say what you want. She's the star, not him. Okay, and if you want to do that, like I said, in all fairness, it's more believable still if he beats Keith Lee. You know what I'm saying? Him beating Adam Cole, yeah, he's supposed to beat Adam Cole the same way Keith Lee is supposed to be. You're not going to have Brock Lesnar lose to an Adam Cole. Size matters. Yeah. Don't let her fool you, fellas. What she told you, oh, it's okay, baby. No, size matters, dog. It's not always the motion in the ocean. If your ocean ain't motioning, you better do a whole bunch of rowing the boat, if you know what I'm saying, fellas. I'm just saying, Keith Lee's got to win this title. That's why it's three X's, by the way, for those who – y'all must have forgot. Okay, go ahead.
You absolutely right. I want Keith to win this title. And what better way to solidify him as a big deal than him walking around with two belts and saying, come get me. Who wants some?
Who wants
some? Yeah, that I don't see it happening, though.
Not at all.
Yeah,
another earthbender match we just did to you right there, just like with your private party. Yeah. What's next on that card for the Great American Bash?
So I keep coming up the July 8th card because they have made a change that it's going to be two nights going up against Fighter Fest. So I'm trying to find.
And knowing WWE, they don't even have that all out there for you right now. So that's not even. So just go through what we have if we have.
Okay,
that
cool. All right, cool. So we've got Roderick Strong versus Dexter Lumis, which. I'm kind of digging this Dexter Lumis character for some weird reason. Yeah, he's weird AF, but I rocks with it, man. Yeah. I rocks with him.
Yeah,
he's going to win this match, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
Roddy is Teflon.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
So we have Aaliyah with Robert Stone versus the delicious Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm. She is very. Even my wife said, wow, baby, I like her eyes. I say,
yeah. Really?
And I like Aaliyah. I never liked Aaliyah. Yeah. I didn't like her name because I'm old school. So, you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, I'll get what you're going with and whatever. And then I saw the NXT house show in Richmond, Virginia. And I liked the character. That's when I actually started liking Shinsuke Nakamura, to be honest with you. I didn't, you know, in that moment, I knew about him. You know, it just to me, certain characters don't get over in a WWE ring. And I didn't think Shinsuke could do it. You know what I mean? I think I've been proven wrong by that. I think he has to. I think Shinsuke's an awesome guy. But I saw Aaliyah at this house show and was just like, okay, I see what she can do. But as we said again off air, that was 4 years ago. And she's still at the bottom of the card in NXT. So there's no future for Aaliyah. No disrespect to Aaliyah. There's something that's not connecting there. I don't know what it is. It's something that's not working there. You know, I think she's just as – I'm not saying she's a – you know, she should be – I think she should be up by now just to be another talented that can do some things. I think she's that good to be on the next level in the ring. But maybe that's just me. What else we got going on there? But I don't think – you know, we already know Rhea Ripley's winning that match.
Of course. We have Oney Lorcan versus Timothy Thatcher, and Thatcher's going to win this one.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. I think they see some things in him, and I see what they see in him. I don't know how marketable he is because of his face and lack of teeth, but he's a believable, tough guy, British wrestler.
That promo, that cinematic, that WWE Cinematic Universe promo with the arm and the ring and get out, and they didn't show who these guys were. I like that. I thought that was great. See, that's the things that they make good that they fell on later. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times have I seen great NXT gimmicks get caught up? So I hope that they don't – NXT stays where they are. You know what I mean? You just got to hope for that kind of – because I think when they do this kind of stuff, they are better than anybody to me. That's why I think when NXT is on, NXT is better than all of them to me because it gives me the best of what they had to do production-wise, and they will throw in older school things that I just love NXT. And I think this, I love Thatcher. I do. I think he's an NXT champion.
Oh, he will be. But the problem with NXT is the crowd, more so than any of these other shows, because they've the other shows have found ways to get around it. But the crowd is so integral to what they do with NXT that it I think that that's the show that has been most affected by the lack of crowd.
I agree. I would definitely agree with that because it's that ECW, you know what I mean, attitude that they've given you, speaking about attitude, that they would give you. Go ahead. What else do we got on those cards?
So I'm burying the lead here because I didn't even know this was a thing before I pulled this up. So we're going to get to the Fatal 4-Way for the number one contendership of the women's NXT title. So we've got Tegan Knox. HBIC, Pop. She's in this. Mia Yim versus Candice LeRae versus Tegan Knox versus Dakota Kai.
I'm sorry. What's my name?
Michael Knox with three X's. Is that your hardcore?
I'm going for Knox to win this match. I think she wins it. Honestly, I do. I think they're going to give it to her. I don't think, for whatever reason, if Mia gets it, I'll be shocked. Let's just say that. She's one of them girls that's been there, that's done it. She's been in the indie scene for some years. I think they just like her in this role where she can be good in the ring like a natty kind of person for NXT. That's just what I see them doing in her. Not that I don't see her being great or she couldn't be great. I just don't see the company, for whatever reason, like I said, with Aaliyah, and way better than Aaliyah. But, I think she's head and shoulders above Aaliyah in the ring as well. But,
Yeah, she's basically the NXT equivalent to Chris Hero, which I don't even think he's on the roster anymore, but that's her role now. She's the veteran that's been around, seen it all, did it all. She's going to help these new young ladies get over and teach them how to work and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's basically her role at this point in time. Yeah, I don't think they see her any higher than that, which is a shame because the character is great. They're, they could do something with her and Keith, but it is what it is. That's not my hit.
Next.
So this match, I didn't even know this was a thing.
It's the second time.
But I'm excited that this is a thing. We have.
What we have?
The Boss.
Yeah.
Versus Io Shirai, a.k.a. Io Shirai, in a non-title match. That has the potential to be the best match we see. I don't know if it's going to appear on the 8th or on Wednesday, but whatever. That might be the best match we see all month. I'm putting it out there. It has that potential.
What
if they give them some time.
What title?
No titles. Not a nada.
You just threw me off when you said non-title.
Not a nada title.
Who you got?
A smash. I got a smash. Because you can't have Sasha lose because she's fighting Asuka for the title at Extreme Rules, the horror show. Jesus Christ, right. We'll get into that next week. And you can't have Io Shirai lose because she's the champ and it's on her turf. So this is going to be a schmaz.
Well, it's a non-title, so I do think Sasha wins this match. So say what you want. Sasha Banks, who is right now because of the injury to the greatest women's wrestler of all time. That's how you do that. Charlotte Flair not being there now, currently, because like Floyd Mayweather is still the greatest boxer of all time. He's just not boxing, so he's not no more. Since Charlotte's not wrestling, the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Sasha Banks, till Charlotte comes back, she's not losing this match. That's just me.
My man.
Go ahead.
My man.
Some to all my Sasha marks out there. I'm not the biggest Sasha mark, but I love what she does in the ring.
I'm pretty sure I'm the biggest Sasha mark, so she can do no wrong in my eyes. I don't care. She can do no wrong.
I seen her one time without her edges done in Virginia, and I wasn't a fan. Then all of a sudden, I seen her again later, she had her edges. I was like, okay, I like her again. I'm just joking. Or am I? Go ahead.
We got wigs, man. We got a red wig. We got a blue wig. We got an orange wig. I'm sure we got wigs, man.
I'm waiting to see the Khaleesi wig.
It's like making love to all the Spice Girls, but it's just one woman. Mm. I mean, come on, man.
We got a Spice Girl fan. Different woman. We got a Spice Girl fan on our hands.
No. Okay. I was trying to make a joke.
I have a cousin that loves the Spice Girls. Swears by it.
But I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really want.
What is that?
I'll tell you what I really, really want. I want Banks 3 belts. That's what I want. That's what I really, really want. I want Banks 3 belts. That's what I want.
Banks 3 belts. Get that hashtag started. Okay. Well,
can I That's all we got right now listed for the NXT card. But can I get a little hot take out the way real quick?
Please.
All right.
Oh, shit.
Bayley Sasha Banks
yes.
is the best program in wrestling right now. And it has been, because you could take this all the way back to their classic NXT battles where they stole the show. And you can make the argument that that's the day, those matches were the day that the women's revolution started. And then for them to start it and get their spotlight stolen at WrestleMania 35 by Becky Lynch and
the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair.
Not only did they not get to main event when they started this whole thing off, they lost their tag belts as well at this said event.
I got it.
And whether or not that story was true, that they were backstage on the floor pouting, I doubt that. But and they've been going back and forth for a few years.
Something had to happen. That much. I don't think they were back there pouting either. But we got to understand what the definition of pouting is. Okay. And I do think there's some validity to them being upset and being visibly upset about the situation. And I think that we had a right to be with that, because I agree with what you're saying. But please, hot take. I know it's not over.
So they've gone back and forth for the past few years. Will they or won't they on the Ross and Rachel side of the game? Then they kind of broke up, but then they didn't. But then they got back together, and then they lobbied the WWE to create these women's tag belts. See, this storyline is very nuanced. See, this is where the lines get blurred right now because I say that I don't think kayfabe died. It merely evolved. So everything that everything gets it worked into the work. So even if it's a shoot, it gets worked into the work, and it causes nuance and adds context to the storylines. So now, fast forward, they're both gone for a minute. Sasha comes back. That really great documentary they did on the Chronicle, she talked about her time off and talked about how it'd been, 3 years since somebody called her real name.
Yeah.
In other words, she lost herself.
Yeah.
But then she found herself, and she came back, and she made an impact.
Yeah.
He remembered, I'm the boss.
Yeah.
The character. I'm the baddest bitch in the land.
The person.
I'm gonna take your man and beat your ass. That's the boss. that's what the character is. And then she made an impact, went after the biggest woman in the industry at the time, Becky Lynch. That didn't work out. But then on the blue brand, her guy Bayley, she was out there hugging babies and kissing fat girls and all that stuff, trying to be a role model, thinking what she thought a role model was going to be. And then finally she said, you know what? The hell with this. I'm not getting over. The character wasn't getting over. She said, you know what? I'm just going to do me, which in my opinion created her. It turned her into a role model, because regardless of what anybody says about her, I'm going to do me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be myself, and me and my best friend, we're going to run roughshod over this whole goddamn division on all three brands because we can and we will. And now they've got the tag belts. Bayley is the SmackDown champ. Sasha will hopefully be the Raw champ.
Banks three belts.
I hope all this culminates, because they've seeded some seeds of dissension here. And I hope this whole thing culminates with those two women main eventing the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, a.k.a. SummerSlam. You give those young ladies 20-30 minutes to go out there, tear the house down, and culminate this story with Banks three belts. I hope some of that made sense.
Listen, I think it all made sense, just like the Fire Funhouse, okay, who didn't understand it, that ain't waiting for you, because this is the show for the intelligent wrestling fan. I loved it because you took me through a journey that made me remember how I became a Banks fan, how I became more we want some Bayley more, because I couldn't see, and I saw what she could do as a wrestler, but I couldn't see her with the ponytail and the stuff that she was doing, you know what I mean? And I remember seeing Sasha Banks early in NXT going, what is this? I thought this was all stupid. It made me actually go from thinking that was stupid to, I believe it. That's who that woman, I love it. So I would think that was brilliant. And that's why I think she wins that match, though, of all things. But we're going to get more on the NXT Great American Bash as we get it. You know what I mean? Look for it out there. With that being said, I think we got a wonderful week of wrestling to look forward to. That's for damn sure. Okay, with this. I don't think with the two nights we're going to get the Banks. Well, I think we probably will get Banks first night. I think we have to. I think that's the main event that could probably go against Cody. You know what I mean? You know, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Because, and I do think that's also the best thing going on in wrestling right now, along with whatever Cody Rhodes is doing in AEW. I think Cody's the best in AEW next to Hangman Page, of course. So, with that being said, I want to pay some respect right now and homage to what's actually going on right now in the wrestling world. We have a lot of things going on with COVID-19 and having now Renee Young test positive and Kevin Owens and things like this, where people are staying away also from this disease. But what's also carrying away things right now, it's not just lives and Black Lives Matter movement that's going on and how the continuous injustice against my people are taking place in this country with police brutality. And then we have the other thing that I think is the worst thing in wrestling, the worst thing that's actually out there for me. I will quote a line by the great Tupac Shakur: since we all came from a woman, we got our name from a woman, we got our game from a woman, I think it's time we heal our women, be real to our women. If not, we're going to have to raise the babies that will hate the ladies. And I think with a lot of this list that's been out here now with this speak out movement, Chris, I think it's important to speak on very blurred line-ish, if you will, so to speak, on what's going on out there. But I think we have to pay some kind of respect to this, Chris. What you think?
I totally agree with you, Mike. And I want to give props and send my love and support out to all the women. And there were some men as well that spoke out and talked about their experiences, their horrible, horrific experiences. And also the women and the men that were hesitant to speak out.
Right.
They're not ready to share their story with the world, or they fear professional ramifications and repercussions. Either way, yeah, I just want to send my love and support to all of those people, because, I mean, and my thing is, Mike, I have an addictive personality.
Okay.
So, you know, whenever whenever I find something that I gravitate towards or I like, I do my due diligence and I literally try to find out and learn every single thing that I possibly can about said thing, whatever the case may be. And this goes the same way with wrestling. And this isn't new. I mean, can you imagine what the women had to go through back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and probably all the way up through the 80s and 90s in this industry just to be part of this industry?
Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, a lot of people, you know, this has been going on in entertainment for far too long. And I think the sensitive matter of, I would always look at Hugh Hefner, right? Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
They've been objectifying women in this country for decades, and America let it happen. So, or the world let it happen. But now what's happening, what we're talking about in our own backyard, like I said, we're not politicians. We're not, you know, we're not, this ain't that kind of show. You know what I mean?
No.
But we do want to pay respect, and it's our due diligence, honestly, Chris, to talk about it going on, because it's wrestling news, and we try to give you our version of wrestling news.
No, you're absolutely right, Mike. And I mean, some of these names on this list, you know, there's a lot of UK wrestlers involved with this, obviously, because that's where this story, you know, originally broke, was the whole UK wrestling scene, which that's probably going to get shut down, at least on the ease end. I can't imagine NXT UK surviving all these allegations. But as I pull up the names here, Mike, I mean, there's some well-known people on this list. And we do have to preference it, man, because just allegedly.
Nothing has been proven in a court of law. This is all speculation. Some people have been suspended. Some people have been fired. Some people are just laid off, furloughed, whatever you want to wish to call it. But this is the list of those who have been accused of these actions.
Yes. And just some of the more known names on this list. I mean, you've got Jim Cornette, Matt Riddle, Darby Allin, excuse me, Austin Theory, who has been getting quite a bit of a push on the main roster recently. Velveteen Dream, it might be Dream Over if these allegations prove to be true, because they've resurfaced with more people now. Who else do we have on this list? Will Ospreay, Jimmy Havoc.
And I think Will Ospreay is a huge name right there, because he was supposed to be the equivalent of
Ricochet.
Right.
Joey Ryan, which it's a wrap for the dick, man. I don't think he comes back from this. But, I mean, yo, Mike, the guy who has people do spots and flips with his dick is a sexual deviant.
No shit.
Who saw that coming? Who saw that coming?
No shit.
I am shocked and appalled.
Oh, my God. I've always thought that was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen in professional wrestling. I really
AEW,
did. I really did.
Yeah. AEW and former WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts has been mentioned. Big Game James Ellsworth. That's been out there for a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dave Lagana, who was the head booker and lead writer for NWA, former WWE writer as well, he's actually been, they actually fired him. So he no longer has any affiliation with NWA. And those and those allegations have been out there for a while as well. But there's a lot of names on here that, that are big names. And Mike, my thing is, all these journalists and hashtag journalists, you can pick up the hashtag journalism shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/the chair shop. Probably a bad time for a plug. I do apologize, but
right there. It's right there. Keep plugging.
Nice.
Right there. Hashtag.
Yes.
Use your head.
But they had to have heard something. You heard something. You had to have heard something. And you turned a blind eye, whether you wanted to be down with the crew or, you know, you didn't want to ruin your access or whatever the case may be. You turned a blind eye to this because you
for so long,
you're a journalist.
For so long. Why do you wait so long? That's will always be my biggest problem, because everything we've ever learned in this world, especially through the media over the last 25 years, it is okay and it is safe to tell. Clarence Thomas. Monica Lewinsky. Shabba Ranks. I don't know. I just wanted to think something funny. But, okay, you can, I mean, no one's exempt is what I'm saying here. So if you feel you were, you know, again, and let me rephrase that and push it back a little bit from my temperament, because I'm not a woman, nor can I just say it. I have a wife, two daughters, you know what I'm saying? I had a mother. I have nothing but respect for women. Mm-hmm. Nothing but respect for women, okay? The word bitch rarely ever comes out of my mouth. If I am saying the word bitch, I'm talking to a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's not disrespectful to me. I'm going to call a man that, okay? Not a woman, all right? So but I want to teach my children, my daughters, to feel safe to tell someone. And that's why, that's the only thing with this I have a problem with. It's not necessarily these dudes being this way. Because they've been this way for years, and they should have been busted. Mm-hmm. I do, however, and this is just me, I have a problem with someone losing their job after something that resurfaced from 12 years ago, 10 years ago. I think that the companies should have done their due diligence beforehand to do that, and not just fire them or suspend them now because it's in the news. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't like, speaking of it from a business sense. Right, I'm not blaming the victims at all. I wish the victims would have just said something. That's all. Other than that, ladies, you didn't feel safe. We're here for you. We're still gonna hug you and hold you tight. But just tell someone if this is happening to you out there. Anybody listening right now, I wish we had the 1-800 awareness. I know that's like a number, right? Like, call somebody. Tell your mother. Tell your pastor. Tell your best friend. Tell your cousin. You know, if it's your cousin, tell your mother. Please just tell someone and don't let it hold on for 10 years. And businesses, come on. You did this 4 years ago, 5 years ago. That interview was out for 4 years on Sammy Carvalho. 4 years. So damn the person for just putting it out there, or thank you for just putting it out there. But at the same time, like, that should have been came out 4 years ago, Chris.
I do. And that's one thing that I fear, Mike, is that this is going to turn into a witch hunt. And I'm not absolving anybody of bad behavior. I'm not absolving anybody, but I can see a scenario, especially in this industry, you know, everything that, given what we know about this industry, where people, they're looking for dirt on certain individuals
right.
for no other reason but than to bring dirt. Them down. Yeah. And find dirt and try to destroy this individual.
Yeah.
I fear that. And Mike, I have a question. I'm going to be, completely transparent.
Please.
I don't have the answers. But I think that it's important that we ask the questions, because we have to get the dialogue started.
Okay.
But I don't know how you fix this. I mean, how do you really fix this in an industry that is literally built on deception and attracts liars and thieves and charlatans and hucksters and con men and just the most deplorable type of individuals? It always has, and
speaking
I feel like
out.
It always will.
Speaking out. Hashtag speak out. I mean, you should not be over if you're a dirtball.
Okay, but now we've got to eliminate, if you get rid of
all
the dirt balls,
I'm saying
we're not going to have a wrestling industry.
If you say derogatory statements, are you derogatory? It's just saying there's no difference. I can't say it at my job. Can you say these things at your job without being fired or suspended? So why should they be exempt because they're superstars or they're world-class athletes or they were chosen or they took the break to go do it? It shouldn't matter. I can't say it. You can't say it. But they say those who not shall throw stones. I'm throwing a goddamn stone. I'm throwing a fucking brick through your window, okay? Mad Hatter on Gotham. I got him in a circle, and I'm dropping a damn anvil on their heads. No. It's not allowed. I have women. Now, I'm not saying I'm exempt. I will always, I'm not going to go that far. And I don't want to rehash some HH stuff, okay, who's not be named nameless. Yeah. But yes, there's room, okay, for things in the privacy of your own home. Mm-hmm. That I cannot take outside into this world. And that's just being smart. That's just being aware. That's just being aware. And that's just being respectful of my neighbor. Treat unto others as you have them treat unto you. Simple. I don't want nobody. We all have a daughter. We all have a mother. We all got a father. You want somebody talking to your people like that? Your girl like that? Come on. Not saying I haven't. I'm not going to sit there and say I'm exempt from that. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not. But what happens here, and like I said, moving forward, that's when you ask the question, how do you move forward from this? Because I don't think someone should be villainized for something that was in their past that people are digging out on purpose to get them in trouble. 10, 12 years ago, I may have said something. I'll never make it if that's the case. Mm-hmm. Just go find it right now. Because I know I probably said some insensitive things that I have to apologize for, that I was stupid or not smart enough to match my mouth. I shouldn't be held accountable for that. And I don't think no one should. Did they rape them? Did they grab them? You know what I'm saying? Like, if those guys, yes, go see you. If you raped somebody 12 years ago, see you. You should go to jail. Have your pee-pee. Gone. But, you know, outside of them actually physical, harming to me, what they said shouldn't be, you know, the end all be all for me.
But that's kind of the point I'm making, though, Mike, is that if we get all the deplorable individuals out of this industry, I don't know if there's an industry anymore. Like, do you have enough wrestlers to fill out a roster? Like, this is systemic. This is based.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Culture of the business.
If they didn't touch them, I think they should be exempt. Sensitive training. Okay. Put them in some kind of, you know, sensitive training program that I heard Sammy Carvalho had to go do. Like anger management. Put them in those kind of sensitive training classes to let them know. Some people just don't know. You know what I mean? Some people, I know that sounds, you know, you may not understand that, right? But some people don't know what an offense is until they're told. Not things like the N-word. That's different to me, right? But you saying a certain slang, right? Like I watched some movie the night, and I was watching Ford v. Ferrari, right? And Henry Ford III said, "Go get that without papers." That was very offensive. But for years, I didn't know what that word meant. Without papers, that meant they can't, you know, I didn't know what that meant. So some people just don't know. So if you don't know. You're talking
about W-O-M-P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so, yeah. I mean, yeah. For years, yeah. They didn't know that was offensive. Yeah. Right? So, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if they didn't physically harm anybody, then just put them in training. And that's where it starts at. That's my way to fix it. Again, ladies, go get yourself some help. But listen, before we get out of here today, because we wanted to talk about this. For 2 weeks, we've been trying to talk about this. You know, has the attitude era ruined professional wrestling? All right? And I think we're going to get around to that finally next week. Okay? Because I do want to give respect to – I'm going to tread very lightly.
It'd be.
Who I feel is one of the greatest entertainers of all time in professional wrestling. I have never been the biggest Undertaker fan. I've openly said that. But I respect what he's done in the ring. I respect what I hear, how he is in the back. Those kind of things. So for that, I want to pay tribute to a 30-year career from 1990 to 2020 and The Undertaker leaving. You see the backdrop where we're here, that's it's supposed to be a Taker show. Thank you, Taker, because I don't think there's nothing corny or anything about them paying homage to The Undertaker, who, again, I am not the biggest fan of, but I am a fan of his loyalty to a business that I love, that gives me and why I'm even talking right now, okay, that he did for 30 years. Should he have been gone a long time ago? Yeah, damn right. Do I think he's gone? No, I don't. Because I did say back at WrestleMania that having the WWE Cinematic Universe, because of the pandemic, might have been the greatest thing for The Undertaker's career. All right? Because he doesn't have to wrestle necessarily. He just has to do spots. And no spot that can't be edited, because that whole thing was edited. That Boneyard match can be a casket match. It could be a Brawnyard, a boiler room match. And he's just taking stiff shots, perhaps, you know, here and there. So I don't think that he's gone because I just don't. It's just wrestling. Moving forward, if he is gone and that was his last match, I'm cool with it. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a great match. He went against a great guy and he won. You know what I mean? He didn't lose. You know, we all have our ideal match. I would say, yo, Undertaker retires, Chris. I want him to be buried alive by everybody that he's ever beat. I thought it would be the greatest. Everybody he's ever beat, come bury him. He kind of reminiscent of the Survivor Series one, right? And the same exact thing, but this time he's actually gone. And then he rises up and he goes, you know what I mean? Or even if he just goes to hell. Because he always says the devil's, you know, he doesn't go to, he goes to hell. And that's how he goes off. You know what I mean? Never to be seen again. Just because of the character of the Undertaker, because I'm a wrestling fan and they need to believe in things like that in wrestling. But for the guy, you know, Mark Calloway, mean Mark Callis to me, the guy that taught me the heart punch, who'd been wrestling since 1984, it's even a longer career. You know what I mean? So I hope he is gone. And not because, you know, he's not great. It's just he's, I don't want to see him get hurt. I don't, it's just that we, Taker should have retired probably 10 years ago. Right. And we didn't talk about SmackDown much, but I will talk about this as they were doing the thank you Taker stuff. Shout out to Baron Corbin. Cause that was, how do you pay respect to someone in wrestling? I always tell you guys, this is a show of the intelligent wrestling fan, right? It's storyline. How do you get somebody over in wrestling? Y'all didn't want it. Y'all hated it. Roman getting over on Taker was supposed to happen, but y'all wouldn't let it. That's what was supposed to be the torch, right? So how do you still pay respects? Some of the best things in the pandemic era is that you fans can't be there to boo stuff, okay? And the promo that he cut in that ring on SmackDown was the ultimate tribute to The Undertaker. And them all whooping his ass at the end of the show was the ultimate tribute to The Undertaker for what you can do right now. And it made me say, you know what? Never being that guy. My favorite WrestleMania is WrestleMania 28, the Hell in a Cell match, you know, the end of the era match. It didn't end then. But if it would have ended then, it would have been great. Okay. Even when he lost the streak, should have been it. Legend Killer should have been it to me. Like when Randy Orton, Legend Killer, that should have been the Undertaker and then Legend Killer. That'd have been the ultimate thing for Randy Orton. But you gave that to Brock Lesnar. By mistake, we'll never know. Right? But thank you, Taker. Chris, your thoughts, man, on the phenom, the Undertaker.
All right, so a couple questions. You watched the part five of the documentary, right?
I did.
At any point in time during that entire documentary, did you hear one time Mr. Mark Calloway say the R word?
You got me thinking. I don't think that I did hear him say, I'm retiring. No, that word. But you watched the whole thing. I'm assuming you did asking that question. Okay, I'm not that stupid. All right. No, I don't think I heard the word, no. But I also watched that when I'm working on the computer, so it might have slipped me. Yeah. So I don't recall hearing the word he said he is retiring. No.
So he, in essence, he said, I'm at peace if I never wrestle another match again. But in the same vein, he also said, if Vince calls me, I'm going to listen. And you know good.
WWE Cinematic Universe.
Well, Vince is going to call him. And they set it up on SmackDown. So you know. Come November, Survivor Series, 30-year anniversary, marking the 30-year mark from when Taker originally made his debut in the WWE. That's perfect synergy. I thought that would be the great place for him to retire. There's going to be some sort of physicality.
You should be, thank you, Taker, see you soon. Thank you, Taker, see you soon.
See you soon, yes. Because I said this on Pot is War also. I said, you know, you could have somebody like a Sami Zayn or somebody come out there and talk some smack, and then all of a sudden smoke hits, the dong hits, he comes out, choke slam, tombstone, bada boom, bada bing, he dips. Yeah. Now it looks like it's setting it up to be King Corbin. He's going to be that guy. He's going to come out, cut a promo on Taker, he sucks, I'm going to bury him. Boom, he comes out, gong hits, smoke clears, choke slam, tombstone, thank you, Taker, throw up the fist, we up out of here. That's going to happen. That's happening in November, people, because it's the 30-year mark. That's happening. In some form or fashion, you will see Undertaker in the ring.
They better have fans there. They better have fans there. I tell you that.
That's the other part. The fact that we don't know. We're
it's coming getting right worse, now on, people. It's getting worse. Yeah.
Rona 2 Electric Boogaloo. So that you might hinder it. Everything that I'm saying.
You yeah. called it. Yeah. Corona 2, the Electric Boogaloo. Yeah. Hey, two. Oh, my bad. You can... But if this is the end, if that's what he does, but he doesn't wrestle, that's still retiring.
Okay.
Okay. I think you have to, because that's retiring, right? Flair do it. All the guys still come back. Rock comes back. Austin comes back. They all grab the mic at some point and cut, but they got to cut. That's what I think what he means when he says, I'll listen. Michelle McCool shouldn't let him wrestle again. I go back to, I think it was episode 2 or 3 of this documentary, The Last Ride, that you can see on the WWE Network, cheap pop, but it's not, because, hell, it's just not free anymore. But even on the free version, you can't watch this, right? So they talked about he should be, I think it was Edge that said it, that the problem with being able to have earned the right to retire when you want to is that you've earned the right to retire when you want to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's a gift and a curse. And we talked about that on that episode of that show as well. So if this is the end of the dead guy, it was a great run. And I say thank you, Undertaker. It was a great ride. And it really was. I've enjoyed you over the majority of my wrestling life. And I've seen you majority of my wrestling life since I was 9 years old in a wrestling ring. And I thank you for those memories. I thank you for that. I just thank you for that. And again, I've never had an Undertaker shirt. I don't want a special Taker belt. I would get a plaque or something like that in my office. You know what I'm saying? When I get up out of here into my new house, and I will get something like that, because I love who he represents as wrestling. And that's what I'm giving thanks to. You've always been a constant in wrestling, and you've had some of the greatest. You, to me, when you think of Mount Rushmore's of memorable moments, he's probably on there 2 or 3 times. And that's 4 on Mount Rushmore. You throwing him off the cage, right? That's a moment. I think a Mount Rushmore moment. I think definitely, like I said, the Survivor Series, the hand coming out of the grave with Mankind and all those guys, Goldust and all the guys burying you. I think that's a memorable moment in my mind in history. That mine in WrestleMania 12, he's on the ground on his knee when he first gets the title with the Winged Eagle title. Classic moments from this guy. Some of the great. I think Triple H has had the best entrances in all of WrestleMania history, but they're second to none to The Undertaker. Right? There would be no King of King entrances if there wasn't for The Undertaker. You know what I mean? He built, what is Taker doing? Oh, I got to come with something hot because of The Undertaker. I can't thank him enough, Chris.
And he cared, and I know this is going to be kind of, I'm not controversial, but it's not in vogue to say nowadays, but he was a man. And he carried himself like a man. And that's why he gets the ultimate respect to every single individual in that locker room.
If I could have dropped the mic when you said that line, that would have been the end of the show right there. He's just the man. You know what I'm saying? And it's thank you. That's all we could say. With that being said, though, we're going to get up out of here, Chris. You can find this show wherever podcasts are sold, on YouTube later in the day as well. Raul right there in the bottom of the line. Hey, Chris, where can they find you at, my man? Pod is War is over on what network, my friend?
The Chair Shot Radio Network. It comes out every Thursdays on Chair Shot Radio Network. You can also find me on 3-Man Weave. We're actually recording that this evening. That drops Tuesdays on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Make sure you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. If you appreciate the content we provide day in and day out, do us some love. We depend on viewers and listeners like you. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. And I personally am at, you see it down there, The Real C Platt on Twitter. Come on at me. I want your hate. I want your smoke. But just know one thing. Well, that's two. Just know one thing. Your arms are too short to box with God. So if you're going to come with some ish, you better bring it.
Oh, well, you heard that, people. Listen, you already know where to get it at. Tomorrow, Bell Kings, episode 9, the U.S. title. We'll talk about that tomorrow. All right, guys, myself and my kicks are my fix over on the Twitter as well. Listen, Bell Kings on Instagram, on YouTube as well. Where you can find all this at the BDSRAO networks right there, wherever podcasts are sold, which are absolutely free, and on YouTube at YouTube.com/TheGameV1. All right, y'all, listen, we're going to get up out of here. So listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me. Some me. And don't love God. That's crazy, because I am forever and forever will be really, Stephen Beeman. I'm like, yo,
yeah. Perfect Plex Radio. We about to go live on him. Mike Knox. That's with three X's because he's hardcore. Are y'all ready? I go by the name Fred Nux. We about to give y'all something special. You ready?